Blog Talk Radio.
Last night I slept in my stiletto. How did it end? Yeah, we were sipping on a red, swimming in sin. Sometimes I get a little ghetto since I've been with him. Black velvet gloves and tunnel vision. Tangerine tongue. I'm way too good at that. And stardust, gotta let go, but I can't, but he don't know, I got a man, I'm a bad girl, give me that, rockin' and rollin', no mutations, cinnamon checks, so soft, so thick, it's sweet, I can't, up on my legs, feels like I'm flying, my 6 feet under his head, he's got his belt.
Hello, hello, and welcome to a Pretty Sweet Tease. And I am half of tonight's duo, Pretty Bird and Sweet Pea. Will be joining us next week because it's been a heck of a month or so. So that was Sex and Stardust by ZZ Ward. And let's see. I don't know much about her, actually. I'm looking at all the stuff because I am a little behind on my research, but I love that song because it's hot as all Hades. And they started, her debut album was about 9 years ago. She's got about 5 or 6 of them out, and you need to look her up because she's kind of amazing. She, like, puts it all out there. And, again, that was ZZ Ward and Sex and Stardust. Tonight, I suppose before I get into what's on tonight, I should say we are in the Adult Lounge, which is the 18-plus sister group for a team of voices. And we can be found on allpoetry.com, which is the world's largest online poetry site. There's something for everybody. And on a team of voices, we have shows for everybody's taste. We have game shows and talk shows and poetry shows and prop shows. There's something for everybody. And then on Sunday nights, if you're 18 or over and you feel like getting just a wee bit naughty, this is the place to be. And we have with us in the studio, Raconteur. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Oh, I feel so unprepared, and I don't know why. it's not like I don't know what's going on.
Well, we love it when you're a little behind.
Well, or a lot of behind because, you know, hey.
I wasn't going there.
Well, I did. My show, gosh darn it. And which I suppose I can say, damn it, because here is the thing about our naughty show. This show is rated R. We talk sex here. We occasionally say fuck here. If this is not your cup of tea, please feel free to peruse the plethora of shows on the Team of Voices channel, because like I said, there is something for everybody. But this show is a little tantalizing, a little titillating, a little excitable, a little steamy, because we are a pretty sweet tease. And hopefully if we do our jobs right, you guys will leave my show going, whew, that was a time. So here we go. Tonight, we are talking about sunshine and shadows. We are talking about lights on, lights off, candlelight. What is your pleasure? Do you need to set a mood? Is anything a mood? I mean, when you are excitable, do you have a preference? I know that for me, when I was younger, I don't want nobody looking at me. Because I might have been a little bit paranoid. I might still be paranoid in different ways, not in that one. But when you're young and whatnot, it tends to be lights out. Maybe a tiny candle across the room and then more candles. And then as you get comfortable in whatever relationship, things are different. But it was a few years before, unless it was, you know, daylight and, you know, curtains only cover so much light. I was not a lights on kind of gal. And then you get to a certain point where you're just like, well, shoot, I can't see if he can't see. So, you know, tit for tat, give or take. If I want to see some stuff, I guess I got to show some stuff. So it didn't really matter. Whatever's more convenient at that point, you know? And so do you have a preference? Like, I know that if we're going all romantic candlelight dinner, which, by the way, I'm not a big fan of candlelight at dinner. I like to see what I'm eating, you know. But candlelight dinner, romantic music, you know, a little ambiance. You know, maybe you'll go for candles in the bedroom. I personally don't like to prep. I am lazy and efficient. I was like, you don't need to do all that. You're I'm a safe bet. You're good. And let's say hello to Sky.
Hi, Sky.
This is Sky, yes?
Find the mute button. Find the mute button, Sky.
603, who do we have? Well, whoever you are, and I think you're Sky, I can't hear you. So if you're on mute, feel free to unmute and just chime in whenever you can. I'm leaving you open. Where were we? We were at candlelight and all the extra prep work. You know, I like a mood. I don't mind being wined and dined. I'm a girl who loves food. I'm not shy. But I've never been a rose petals on the bed kind of gal. I've never been a let's just do all this extra work. Is it lovely? Yes. But I don't want to clean that mess up, you know? And I still like candlelight, but I prefer a roaring fire in the fireplace, you know?
Yep.
And quite frankly, I'm lazy. If it's dark when we start, it's going to stay dark. If it's light when we start, it's going to stay light, whether the lights are on, whether it's midday, midnight. I'm just efficient. There are times where you're with somebody and it's nice that they look at you like you're a piece of meat and they want the lights on because they just want to, you know, drink you in. And, you know, that's nice. You know, that's a nice feeling. It always feels really, really good to know that you're wanted, to know that because of you, they're in the state they're in, you know? That feels really, really good. It's empowering. It gives you confidence. You're like, well, all right, then, here it is. And so there's something to be said for that. So you know, there's that. Personally, if I am the one conducting the evening, I tend to like to see what I'm doing, because I'm usually doing some stuff. But like I said, if I have to go and run across the room and whatever, I'm like, nah, let's just get this done. I'm good. Because I'm highly efficient that way. Can you hear me now, Sky?
Yes, I can.
And there was an issue with my.
There was an issue with my headset.
I am glad you got that all fixed. So hello, hello. So we were talking about the theme for the evening, which is lights on, lights off, sunshine and shadows. Does it matter? Do you have a preference? Does it set the mood differently? Because, you know, I'm all up in everybody's business.
I don't think it doesn't matter to me.
Right? Because, you know, when you're first starting out and you're a little insecure and whatever, you know, it's different. You know, but when you get past all that, or if you're one of those lucky people that was just born with you know, a giant mess of confidence, more power to you. But for the most part, you know, you learn to be comfortable in your own skin. You get to that point, and every relationship is different. I am lazy as all get out. If I have to go and do stuff to prep things, I tend to not. I'm not the romantic one. I'm not the one that does all of that stuff. But, you know, I've had partners that start in the morning with, you know, instructional texts that want, you know, as they walk through the door, they want certain things, like not done to them, but, you know, to be laying on the bed, whatever, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And if you're going to get random texts, you know, a dozen times during the day with like two sentences of what they want to do and how they want to do it, that is about the most fabulous foreplay, because by the time you get there, you've been thinking about it all day long. The last thing on your mind is like, you know, if they get there before sunset, you're good. If they get there after sunset, you're good. You know, it's just, the mood is already set, and there's something to be said for those little things that may seem like nothing, but, you know, they really do. Once they plant that seed in the morning, it stays there and just grows roots all day long. God forbid they're actually late from work or something, because, no, don't get me all up in a frenzy and then not show up. That's not going to work for me. But, you know, I figured we would get some romantic pieces tonight with the candlelight or the moonlight. I like a full moon on the beach. That is quite lovely. And by on the beach, I mean on blankets, because I don't do sand in my crawl. Yeah, but actually, I got proposed to at like midnight on a beach in the middle of July. It was actually quite romantic. Again, not my doing, because I'm not that girl, but it was lovely. And, you know, so everybody has their preferences. I have a lot of friends that still have, you know, they need their candles or incense or whatever. I was like, incense? Really? Because not for nothing, there's something about the union of two people that builds the room and builds its own, you know, ambiance. I mean, it feeds the mood. Why cover that up with, like, patchouli? I don't understand. You know, maybe that's just me. But, you know, I tend to be a little primal. I tend to not have any qualms about, you know, the reality of human existence and how things work. And, you know, I am a bodies are going to do what bodies are going to do. They're going to react how they react. And so because of that, it's not supposed to be all neat and pristine. It is messy business if it's done right, and that is quite all right with me. But we're, you know, a little away from the shadows and the sunshine and the whatnot. I will say this, as far as sunshine goes, wear sunblock on all your nethers, because holy crap, that's uncomfortable.
That's a bad place to get a burn.
Yeah, because if it never sees the sunshine, it tends to be a little delicate. You know, And I've never been one to wear a thong out in public ever. So yeah, I have a lot of area to that is like virginal to sunlight. That is not good. Yeah. I mean, even if you get a bad burn on your butt, you can't sit, you can't drive, you can't go to the toilet, laying down if you're not on your side. I mean, it's just a pain in the butt, literally, which is kind of funny, you know. Accidental booty pun. So, you did not put anything on my topic board, Mr. Raconteur.
Oops. I don't know that I have anything. I'm bad.
That's another show, because we can take care of that elsewhere. I was like, I am not a whole lot better. I am still trying to finish up my piece because I had technical difficulties because somebody, who shall not be named, was updating and doing stuff to my computer because I have been sick and kind of left it in safe mode and all of my studio wires unattached, and so I was scrambling. I was like, I'm supposed to be writing, and I had to fix all my junk, so I too am unprepared, but I'm almost done, so it'll be all right. Oh my goodness. And Silk might be joining us here shortly, so I'm excited about that. He is digging through his pieces for something on Shadows. I'm sure he's got many because he's a little wolfing, so that's kind of awesome. So I am going to start with a SoundCloud from Titus. I do so enjoy the way he writes. Let me put him up on the board so I can get my wits about me. And if I start coughing up a lung, or if I'm out of breath, or if I sound like I'm wheezing and I don't notice, because sometimes that happens, just let me know to turn my oxygen on, because I'm here with nothing but my inhaler. So far, so good. But I tend to not notice because I haven't been able to breathe right in so long. So if you hear me going, you know, it's not in a good way, tell me to turn my oxygen on. Okay, I'll be sitting here going, why can't I breathe? Because, you know, I forget.
So Darth Vader didn't join the group?
No. So that might be an interesting topic. I like Star Wars. And if you guys have... if you guys have never seen... it's a Kevin Smith film. Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Please
yeah.
Watch it. It's
yeah.
A little campy. It's absolutely hysterical, and you'll never look at Star Wars the same way again. And, yeah, so there's that. There's a song in there called... What?
Kevin Smith is brilliant.
Isn't he, though? Oh, loved him since Clerks. And there's a song there by MC Chris. I think it's if you guys like Star Wars, it is Fett, as in Boba Fett, Fett's Vet, and it's this fast little rap song, but it's got a great beat, and it's absolutely just amazing. I might be a little nerdy. It's fine. I own it. I'm good. I'm perfectly happy with my nerdlitness. And
You're not alone in
nerd. Yeah, I have very many factions of nerds, so I am good with that. I think I surprised some people, which I think is funny because I've kind of been a little bit, you know, nerdy my whole life. But I think that the weird little bits of knowledge that I have about all of these things, like, surprises people. But I'm the kind of nerd that has such amazing pain-in-the-ass friends that on Facebook, when the new Star Wars movies started coming out, when the new Star Trek movies started coming out, not a single one of them post anything on their Facebook pages ever. They wouldn't answer any of my questions. I didn't get to see them until like a month later, because Christmas is very busy in a house with a million kids. And you know, they usually come out about that time. And so they wouldn't tell me anything. I mean, nothing. They would have conversations like, oh my God, can you? No, I can't. Oh my goodness. And I'm like, what? And they're like, shh. I was like, fine. But I love them for that because they you know, they let me have that experience, which you kind of really need
you know, some movies are, you know, spoilers are spoilers for a reason, like they're called that, because once you know it's coming, it's just not the same. So, you know, all those moments, like Star Trek Into Darkness, when he said, "My name is Khan," I was like, no, it was fabulous. I'm just saying. I know some stuff. All right, Titus is on the board, and we're going to play this if I can find where I put it, because I am so unorganized tonight. It's not even funny. I don't know what my problem is. I need to refresh my audio list. There he is, and here we go. This is 'Twas When the Sun Arose. See how elegant he writes and eloquently, and it's just lovely. And I'm going to hit play now and shut my pie hole.
Was when the sun arose. The sun arose, it welcomed the new dawn. You turned towards me, stretched, and with a yawn, the smile you gave confirmed true love had sworn. A blessing would it praise our first night born, to which it was the sun who then peeped in. Before it reached the heavens, touched your skin. It was delightful to see a mere chagrin, togetherness enwraps love's warmth within. While so in love the two of them would swim, believe the heights display our honeymoon. In shrill, enthralled by what it is we do cocoon, the light would strike the curtain, play a tune. In passing, while we two gazed kind of sweet, the moon and sun were later to compete. 'Twas the first and last long distance, 'twas before she left. Her warmth it keeps a clause of while the sun does shine, the moon it draws the love from deep within me, finding yours. Then without you, if not, then cloudy days. Losing my way, the new moon, it displays nothing. What might it be? It might raise the love I yearned would keep for always. 'Tis often the moon a welcome will unfold, a self-belief that some sunny days do behold. An eclipse begins the tale, too late my marigold. The sunset with its carpet of red unrolled, our futures reassured, now she is my bride. The sun gazed through the curtains, bleary eyed.
And it's a sonnet that I can't write worth a damn, so I'm not jealous. It's fine. The sonnets are the bane of my poetic existence. I'm just saying. And isn't this lovely and just wonderfully swoony romantic? You know, what a wonderful way to start the day. The sun arose, it welcomed the new dawn. You turned towards me, stretched with a yawn. It was almost it is one of my favorite things. But, you know, if you're like on a weekend getaway and you just had a time and you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes to that and they're just waking up with you and you're still kind of feeling the night before and it's just all the best things. All the best parts of love. You've got all the affection. You've got all of those tiny little subtleties that make love real and not just a fantasy. And then you've got all the reality of fantasies come true all in one. And in that little tiny moment, in those first two lines, it is so full of the best parts of love just in that those first moments of waking up. You know, that's a lot to capture in a couple of lines. And and a smiley gaze confirmed true love has fallen. You know, mornings like that are amazing. I need a vacation. And, you know, it's just, he does such a wonderful job of setting a scene and a mood and the imagery and emotion, and you process it through your own memories or hopes of things to come, that it feels so real just right out of the gate. You don't have to talk us into it. You don't have to put us in a place. It, you just start and we're already, you know, he starts and we're already there. And that takes some serious skill. And I love the way he wraps his words, even though these are perfectly rhymed lines, they continue through, which reminds me a little bit of Shakespeare, because if you read Shakespeare, they're like full sentences that, you know, they spoke in iambs back then. So it was easier to have that kind of language, where now it's not the norm. But they're continuing things. They rhyme on paper, but they feel a mood when you read them whole, and he does that. And I just do not have that skill. Love sonnets, can't write them, and I found this to be wonderfully beautiful and so full of love. And this is kind of like what love aspires to me, but I may not be actually romantic, but, you know, internally I'm wildly so, which is, you know, my dichotomous truth. So, Rack and Tor, what do you think of Titus's piece?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you say you're not romantic, but, I mean, you kind of gushed over this a little bit and touched on a lot of the romanticism of it, you know, and you know, you got to be at least a little bit romantic to be able to appreciate stuff like that. You know, the classic language, it does, like you say, remind you of Shakespeare a lot. But, you know, definitely in his own voice, his own way, his own and added to that, you know, his the slight accent in his voice and the read, it's just always what's the word I'm fishing for? Not ethereal, but you know, one of those experiences that just kind of lifts you away, and you're floating on clouds, kind of a thing. It's gorgeous.
I fully
concur.
You set
the bar pretty high for the rest of us.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna limbo that thing. There's no you know, jumping over that thing. But and I'm not physically romantic. There's a lot of romanticism in me. I mean, you know, kind of all poets, even if they don't write romance, have that kind of way of thinking to a certain degree. But I'm not one to, like I said, you know, put rose petals anywhere, because I don't want to deal with that mess. Sky, what are your thoughts on Titus's sonnet?
Are you an unmotivated romantic?
Oh yeah, I'm waiting. It's all dead out.
Oh, this is excellent.
I like romantic things done to me. I don't do wildly romantic gestures.
This is an excellent piece. You know, it was, as you say, wildly romantic. There's a beautiful cadence to it, rhyme to it. The sonnet was done beautifully. When the smile you gave me confirmed true love had sworn, a blessing would it praise our first night born. I love that. And I love how he switches to an older kind of dialect. I think it gives to the sonnet as well. And the way he breaks down the storyline, by the end, you're just about falling in love with yourself. So really well done.
I know he has that way when he goes all romance and love, and even he has some that are a little bit of the shadowed side of love, and still, even with the touches of pain in those, it's just like, I want that. Like you kind of like swim in the puddle of his words, and they kind of just coach you in their essence, and you're just kind of like, when he's done. And I'm like, all right, it's fine. He's awesome. He really does do love and things like that. Very, very beautiful. He writes everything amazing. He's just really, really talented. But his love poems, his romantic poems, the poems where he touches on all those sensual things, they're my favorite. They really, really are. I am not that graceful, and I'm okay with that, but when it's done right like that, it's almost like those fairy tales that when you read fairy tales as a kid, you get lost in them.
you see them like they're these real things, because, you know, books. And you want that. You want the Prince Charming before you realize that he's Dracula. You want all of that stuff, because it carries you off on this, like, dream. And here Titus is writing words about real things, and it's got that feel, like it carries you off. And not that it sounds like a fairy tale, but that's the closest feeling I have to what that does, to what this poem did. And I probably sound like a blubbering idiot, but, you know, hey, that's my truth, and I'm okay with that. And I need to say that I am behind is what I am. I am behind.
I admire that about you.
I think I'm done with my poem. It needed a word. It has no title. I am just not prepared. Usually, I'm just like, I have 15 poems. Here's some sex for you. And because I am who I am. But I am just, with that, my technical difficulties right before the show, I am just not caught up with myself. I need to just find a title. I'll find a title later. I don't know how many words this was, because it's done. For Pete's sake. I tend to notate my crap in a very specific way, and I'm anal about it. I figure it out. We're good. All right. But I see you brought us something lovely, Miss Sky.
Well, it has the word shadows, and it has the word light, and it has the play on a metaphor of shadow, so I thought it might fit.
Is it on the topic board? I don't see it. It's just on the bottom of my screen, which means it's up here. Okay. Because, you know, this isn't your normal super naughty Sunday night. So it's almost normal.
No.
So you can put it wherever you want it, even though that sounds naughtier than I intended. So let's see. We are here at the Adult Lounge. And I've got you. Are you ready to read, or I'm just going to stick you up there and throw you under the bus? Which is on Tuesday night at 11, by the way. That's all creepy things for my show. It's all real-life ghost stories, or plausibly real ghost stories. Not looking for guardian angels and you know, good witches. I'm looking for the stuff that creeps you out, because spooky season. So that is on A Team of Voices, 11 o'clock on Tuesday. And do you guys have anything coming up while I am plugging my own stuff?
I have Hocus Pocus on Saturday.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
At 8 p.m. at Poetic Slice.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And your show is, Rack, is in 2 weeks or next week? 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks at least, yeah. It's towards the end of the month. I got to check, because you said, did I want to switch? So I don't know what day she ended up giving me.
I am going to post something in the naughty room that reminds me of spooky season, and it was a little pervy, and it's perfect, and I need to find you all up in there. So I have you up on the board. Miss Sky, with your, you see, even your picture is beautiful. That is just lovely, isn't it? You see, I couldn't find a decent backlit silhouette. They're all over the place when I'm not looking for them. When I need something with light and shadow, couldn't find nothing.
Oh, I have a bunch of stuff too, so if you ever need a picture, I'm your girl.
But I will keep that in mind, because that is awesome. I had a hard time finding one for this. I want to put this up because I don't know if you guys like Halloween like I like Halloween. because I'm a freak that made my 11-year-old child into a zombie, and he was in sixth grade, and he went to the little school Halloween party, you know, in the evening, and he was just sitting there eating pizza, not talking to anybody, or just talking to his little friends, and he accidentally won creepiest costume for the contest he didn't enter, and he was so proud. And so was I, because he was fully done up gore. A few years later, he is a senior in high school or a junior in high school, and then I had another one in middle school. And so one of them was a roadkill zombie, and my oldest, who was that original zombie, I had, like, his face exploded, like, down the middle and open, like, and you can see his mouth because it was all kind of latex together with holes, like, in it. It was all bloody and whatnot. And he had people, because we all went trick-or-treating, and he had people just look at him and close the door and turn the lights off because they were like, nope. And I was just like, and he never said a word. Never. He had on a collar and a leash, and his girlfriend was Minnie Mouse, and she kind of had him on that chain, which I, you know, like he's an animal. And all he did was walk, and people would, like, go to the other side of the street, and it cracked me up so badly. It was so funny. But I'm that girl. I once made myself into an old lady. It took me 6 hours of 7 layers of latex to make all of these wrinkles on my face and chest. And it was amazing. It was really, like, I was, that's probably, like, what I'm most proud of, is that I actually look old. Old enough that it freaks me out when I was, it's like when you look yourself in the mirror and you don't look like yourself at all, but you look like yourself but old, it is a freaky, 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 freaky thing. It's like I am my mother and my grandmother and probably all my ancestors rolled into one. So I
had a filter once that I took, and I think it was through a Snapchat, and it filters you to look very old.
You could age yourself.
You know, that's the one.
Yeah.
And it's got the old you on top, the normal you in the middle, and a supposed younger version of yourself at the bottom, right? So I took a picture 3 different days on that, and I sent it to everybody because my mom had, like, just died. And I was like, is it just me? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, my sister would, like, freak out. I mean, I look exactly, like, but exactly like my mother. And I was just like, that's fine. I'm all right. It's fine. Because I was like, what the heck is that? I mean, it was just really unexpected and kind of cool, but kind of really, really, really freaky. So I am looking for this Mike Myers. Where is Mike Myers? Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, my mom didn't like it because she said I looked too much like my aunt. And my aunt had just died, so she wasn't having it. She was like, she was almost in tears. I'm like, would you knock it off? She's like, but you look just like her. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like my sister. She freaked out, like full-on blubbering. Every time she looked at it, freaked out. Now, I don't know. But I guess that's really a
I also had a chat. It changes your gender, and my mother's like, you look just like your brother. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I look just like my oldest son. The one where they gave you a beard and whatnot and widened your face looked just like him. He's just like, oh, that's weird. I was like, isn't it, though? Here I am, looking.
Now I want to put him up.
Do you want Sky to read while you're looking?
Yes.
Well, she can't pay attention if she's not looking. I mean, if she's looking. I need Pretty Bird's undivided attention. I can't be.
Oh, I almost guarantee you. You'll have her undivided attention.
This is your ball game. You will, as soon as you start talking.
All right. This is Through the Gaps of Open Ribs and Plate Fist by Sky Darkholme. I love the fragrance of swept hair. When the must of our lust lingers in pockets of dew in evening's air, how curious is the beating of your heart, steady and gentle rest, body and limbs collapse, like a damp cloth draped upon my breast. Your gaze is thick and heavy below my brow, how the wistful light seems to play, as shadows claim the scripts of naked love, even the saddest gray. How I love the notes of laughter that linger on eye's rim, and just as much the tears that gather the edges of their trim. There are marks that ripple beneath fingertips as my hands trace stomach to hip, and for a moment I feel your breath catch and see your fingers wrap around your heart, and that heavy gaze and wistful light begins to part. But know this, that I would love you to the gaps of open ribs and closed fists. I would wait with patience till darkness loosens its grip. But I needn't say the words. You can feel them in my embrace. Your touch tucks itself upon my shoulder as long threads of silk begin to drape. How I love the fragrance of swept hair when the must of our lust lingers in pockets of dew and evening air. Mm-hmm.
Well, that should have got me all in the field. that's a little bit of a roller coaster, isn't it?
Listen,
woman, warn me next time. I'm sitting there looking at that picture, and I'm just like, oh. You know, and it's beautiful. It's just this beautiful, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, for Pete's sake, my brain. I have COVID brain. I really do. I have never been right since I was deliriously in the hospital and oxygen deprived. It's like half of my recall is just, you know, I coughed it up and puked it out. It was just not, it's not good. But this is just a beautiful testament. That's the word, to love and all of it, because, you know, love ain't easy. It's not all, you know, how the wistful light seems to play as shadows claim the scripts of naked love, even in the saddest gray. How I love the notes of laughter that linger on eyes rim, and just as much tears that gather on the edges of their trim. And it's rare to hear trim used for eyelashes. I'm just putting that out there because it's that show. But I absolutely love that it is all-encompassing. It is unconditional. It's you know, it's not just the good. It's all of it. It's, you know, when not, you can't be happy all the gosh darn time, or it wouldn't mean anything. And so sometimes the world weighs on us. And when you love that about someone, when you're there and you're in it and those tears are beautiful and you wish you can take them, because as beautiful as they are in that freedom of vulnerable emotion, you still don't want to see them in pain. That it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And there I am thinking it's like, you know, sex. And while it does touch on the sensual, it is that that got me. It is. I feel your breath catch as your fingers wrap around your heart, and that heavy gaze and the wistful light. Like, you know what? All of these moments of emotion that go into or out of or weave themselves through the must of our lust and the fragrance of swept hair. And then, you know, there is something to be said about that. Rack and tour, I know you have a thing of when a girl, you know, puts her hair back or walks past you and that shampoo just tickles your senses. So what did you think about this wonderfully, wonderfully written piece? It's so good. I'm saving. I save all your stuff.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I thought it was appropriate for 22 because it's, you know, when you think about the lights on or off, people often have insecurities with lights on and what they don't, you know, that there are lines that ripple. You know, sometimes we have marks on our body that make us feel insecure, and then we catch ourselves and we don't want to give as much of ourselves. And that was that middle part there, that was security. And so I thought it was appropriate as well.
But the whole thing, you know, is stunning in a lot of different ways. But for me, you know, it's not the intimacy that you bring into it, but the familiarity that goes with it, because it has a different meaning. It speaks in a different voice when you're close with someone and they brush your hair or whatever, or you smell arousal, you know, that line about the musk. I forget how you worded it already now, but, you know, it made an impression to be sure. You know, it was just, again, knowing the feeling behind it to me is what makes it scream. You know, it's not just, you know, writing about a moment. It's what's behind that moment that comes through, the imagery that you're bringing into it, the emotion that's behind it, that makes it so beautiful for me. You know, it's not something that you tread into lightly. It's something that's touching to you, that means something special, that will always mean something special, you know, regardless of if it, you know, no longer, you know, because that memory still lingers, along with the stuff that reminds you of it all the time, you know, or even some of the noises, the sounds that were happening at that time that are going to take you back to that moment. You could feel it. In the way that you write, it makes it, you know, more than just relatable. It makes you want to be, you know, written about in that way, and, you know, that's part of the appeal of, you know, for reading a lot of the things that you write. Beautiful.
Thank you, Rex.
I would just like to say I love a piece that is very well bookended. It's something I do quite often, and it changes the meaning of the words, even though they're exactly the same. When you start off that way, it puts you in a place, and then you take us, you know, to all these different places. You touch on all these different things, and kind of leave us a little bit speechless, because, you know, that's kind of what you do. And then it completely has a different weight to it, and so I kind of love that. I really, really do. And I'm going to say something. I don't remember. Because my brain, but yeah, I'm just in awe.
The musk of your lust.
Oh, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, you don't want a patchouli that. I'm just saying.
You don't want a what?
Patchouli, you know, with the incense and the sandalwood and whatnot, the people that I did. Some things
you
should
definitely
be
missed out.
Yeah. Well, you're not there for that part of the conversation.
No, I'm saying you would definitely miss out.
I know. I mean, it is. You know, forget the oysters. You know, there's something when you know, it's probably the hottest thing ever. It is passion feeds passion, and you know, it doesn't fill a room if it's not going well. And so, you know, there's something about it. And, okay, you know, this is rated R room. There's something about the smell of sex that kind of feeds the desire to have it. It really, really does. And every coupling is different. And, you know, I was surprised at that fact. Because, you know, our bodies are a learning process. Nobody, you know, reaches puberty and figures it all out. You know, it takes time and experiences to understand some things. And that's one of those things. That's one of those, if whoever's listening is one of those that loves the moonlight and rose petals, and there's something to be said for somebody taking the time to do all that, it's lovely and it's meaningful, and I'm not poo-pooing on that. But of that, that lead into the animal grunting, you know, it's not really worth the work, you know. But I know people that spray their perfume or you know, light the incense, or,
yeah,
and still to this day are fully grown, and you know, and maybe that does the mood for them, and that's fine, but I think that they're missing out. I mean, let's
catch up on a steak.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really if you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't live in the moment of what you guys create together. I'm just putting that out there. Probably have to edit that, but it's okay. So I have no title for this little nugget, unless somebody put something on the board. Okay. And I will have to come up with a title. And I haven't even read it. I just kind of wrote it. So it could really just suck because seriously have not even read it. This has no title yet. I'm sure it's going to be something about sunlight or sunset or moonlight or whatever. And you know, I have a thing about my titles, which is why I cannot ever find anything ask Rack. I'm like, ooh, this is promising. No, it's not. Oh, no, look, this is death and this is death and this is emotional destruction and this is evisceration. I have a poem entitled Enucleation is a Kindness. And enucleation, for those who don't know, is a scooping out of the eyeballs. And so I've got titles that are just, okay, it's my cookie title from a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't find it for an hour because it's called Not Your Basic Bee, and it was a butter cookie, but it's very sensual. It's a sensual cookie. And but it's called Not Your Basic Bee. Could not find that sucker for nothing. And I'm like, I need a whole card catalog, old-fashioned Dewey Decimal System of stuff just to find my crap because I can't remember nothing. Anyways, this untitled little nugget.
You knew immediately about the car wreck, beautiful wreck.
The car wreck, beautiful. I was like, I think I have a poem titled that. Yeah, but I couldn't tell you what it was about. Didn't remember. It was like a 10-word poem. I just, you know, you said, hey, morning, beautiful. I was like, yeah, car wreck, beautiful. You know, I was like, oh, hey, sounds familiar. It's funny because I tend to be verbose, even in my writing. I really do. It's really hard to you know, take a scalpel and cut away words that are unnecessary. It's painful for me to have to whittle things down. So in an attempt to do that in my regular writing, I started writing 10-word poems, the second of which I will always remember because I was in a mood that day, and it is called Capitulation, and it is the raping of a soul in the form of ultimatum. And then I was hooked, and I was like, oh, that says a lot. That's something. And so now I have, like, the whole entire, like, you know, 160 of them in a book somewhere that nobody ever buys, which is fine. They're all over this page, too. I have a list for 10-word poems. And I'm a little persnickety about 10-word poems because, you know, you can write any sentence with 10 words and slap it on there and think that, but it's not. If somebody doesn't think or doesn't feel or it doesn't punctuate something, then I can't call 10-word poetry. Like, not every haiku is a haiku, you know? But I'm a little persnickety. I think that this is me procrastinating because I have no idea what this is going to sound like and I don't want to read it. But here it goes. This is my untitled nugget, which kind of sounds naughty too. But it's Sunday, so it's all right. Whew. The setting sun glowed copper on skin cloaked in beach-soaked afternoon bliss. Ocean breeze and salt kiss yesterdays that pour into tomorrow like hot fudge over ice cream. And Sunday melts into evening with a glance, a prelude of things to come. Horizon on fire sets the room ablaze, and it only gains momentum as the moon rises against taut flesh. Skin raked in primal growls that won't let go on repeat. Where backlit curves pull the eye and we make our own soundtrack. Warm air wafts into heaving lungs that quest for more, and more is never enough to quell the beast. So we feed it honey and wine and a serenade of moist movement and animalistic yearning. In the rhythm of our own time, it passes slowly to the morn. And pull.
Wow. You know, and you say you're not romantic.
I'm romantically lusty.
Oh, when you get down to business, you get down to business. That's, you know, you kind of any hope I ever have of eloquence lose when you start doing that to me. I don't know. It's just. Sky, save me. What'd you think?
Oh, I love this. You know, such a, that's the word I want. There's such a primal this, and I think that, you know, wine and dine and petals and incense, that those are sweet. But I have to say, maybe I prefer this a little bit more. This is very, you know, because I mean, not that I don't like all those other things, but there's like this, there's a need here, you know, skin and primal growls, like that's just, and immediately it's just, the switch, you know, yeah. an animalistic switch inside you that's very primal, I have to say. And the way that you described it, it's not, oh, I want to seduce you. I want to do these. It's like I need to right now. Like this needs to happen right now. You need to be all these things right now. And there's a sensuality and such a, you know, in that basic instinct and basic need of right now. And the way that you describe it was just absolutely stunning. You bring in this ocean breeze and salt kisses yesterday pour into tomorrow's. So you have this like beautiful, beautiful open, especially over the glowing copper skin, you know, tan, you know, that beautiful skin, you know, kissed by the sun, so to speak. So you have this beautiful open and then all of a sudden you just like, it just hits you. You're just like, right, this doesn't need to happen right now. And sometimes things come over us like that. And then you kind of flush back to that little bit of sweet just for a minute, the honey and the wine and the serenade. And but just for a moment you have that. And then you get the animalistic yearning back into place. And I quite love it. Very
much. Well, you know, honey is
one more thing.
The honey from the honey pot. Just putting that out there and all that sweet. But let's say hello to Miss Deborah Lee. Hello, hello.
Hello.
So we are talking all things sunshine and shadows. Ooh, and we have Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hello, hello. How are you?
Hi, pretty good. I'm fine. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. Deb just joined us as well, and we have Sky and Rack with us. Do you have time, or do you have to read and run?
I'm sort of reading and running, if that's okay, pretty good. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm glad you showed up at all. We're good. So you're here. It's fabulous. And we are currently between poems, so you can go ahead and put yours up, and we are talking all things light and shadows and romance versus passion. You know, all the good things.
I heard.
Oh.
So
then you know.
I've written a poem for you. Yeah. But it's only short.
Put it up.
If that's okay.
Yes, make sure it's in the right room.
And it's quirky as all get out, so here we go. You ready?
Yes.
This is The Obscured, which is adult to a degree. And it goes a bit like this. Upon candle's flicker, skin takes on a blur of the defined and darker in hue. And whether taut or pink is blur, it seems more mysterious if shadows too. While this is not usually medical, I'm betting, well, unless that floats your boat, in which case leave by the exit setting for enemas and such in your white coat. Now that we have thinned out the crowd, I'm guessing that many agree. The shadows are in, and we are proud that in flat you get hidden to a degree. End time.
Well, that took a turn.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, I did not see that line coming at all. That is absolutely hysterical. And I love how you're like, and now that we've thinned out the crowd, that is just hysterical. But I absolutely love this, you know, because there is a certain beauty that a dim light just doesn't imbue to a moment. It is candles are almost alive, and so they breathe with you. And,
yes.
And it,
I agree.
Yeah, and it dances on
skin, you know, and highlights all these different things almost simultaneously, but then not, because it's forever shifting. It's like magic. It's almost like when you lay underneath a Christmas tree and look up and you like move your head a little bit, it's all twinkling lights. It's kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
only, you know, the adult version.
And I
like, you know, tot or pink, and then, you know, let's just be, you know, a little glad that all them flabby bits are, you know, blurred up a little bit, because, you know, reality.
Exactly.
And I love that this is sexy. I love that this is funny. I love that it is fully relatable. It is absolutely perfect for the shadows and that blurring bit of light. It's just, I love this. I really, really do. And Deb, what are your thoughts on this twisty, turny piece?
Well, I have to say, I started at the title, and in the parentheses it says adult to a degree, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's coming? And then he gets into the rhyme, and we're cool. We got a pond, candle flicker, skin takes on a blur of a defined and darker hue. So we're good, you know, we're hiding in the shadows just a little. And then, well, that's not usually medical bedding. Well, unless that floats your boat, that cracked me up. These little, you know, parentheses that you're putting in here. But you got to hand it to you for that, the closing, where you're just proud to be able to do anything to hide the flabby bits to a degree. So this was a giggly treat. Well done.
I think I'm most impressed that you stuck enemas in there and just kept on going like it was like a just a little side note.
Yep.
So it's still kind of sexy and humorous and fabulous. You're not stuck on that. Because, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, but no, this is perfect. And raconteur, you would have fabulous sense of humor.
And compromised vision, no less. So when you say relatable, yeah, I could have had this experience without a candle. I really appreciate it though for what it is. I mean, like they're saying that the humor in it, you know, if you can't laugh at that moment, you know, there's no point in doing it, I don't think. And I think that enhances the moment. But you know, you're not really talking about romance, but you know, that's just the direction my head goes. You know, when I'm going to write about it, I'm either going to try and be, you know, corny and glib, or I'm going to be, you know, a little more flowers and petals and softness. But you know, I like something like this very much, because you know, the lack of seriousness, I think, speaks to the ability to be intimate with someone you're about, even though, you know, that's not really what you're talking about in this instance. But I really like the humor in it, and again the guts, you know, the rhyme and flow, pieces behind what makes it work. Great storytelling, great piece.
Thanks, Jack.
Absolutely. And Miss Sky, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I like how clever it is, and I have to say at the end, it's a little flabby hidden bit to a degree. I thought it was very clever. There's just a wonderful play on words in here and meaning. I thought it was quite brilliant.
Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm still a bit in awe about how elegant you are. You know, you've got these wonderful phrasing and these wonderful, you know, words and this wonderful rhyme and flow. You stick this little bits in there and you still have this wonderful rhyme and flow, and still, you know, I love it.
Pretty bird.
Yeah.
Elegant enemas. That's different.
That's why she's talking about flow.
Exactly.
Well, I am glad that you brought this. It is perfect from the title on out, and
And Sky's right. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Pretty Bird. Oh, just something I did as I was eating the chicken roll. It just sort of struck me. I don't know why. It's just quirky or whatever, and whatever comes down comes on the page. So there you go. That's the one great poem.
Things will be born as they will be born, you know, as they are meant to.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so absolutely loved it. I am so glad you brought it and stopped by.
Ah, awesome. No, thank you for the first next week for hosting and doing what we do. And I will talk again next show, I guess.
Sounds good.
Thanks
to me.
Thanks for the
Have a good rest of your day.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, have fun.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
And
can I just say one thing to Deb real quick?
No, you're not allowed to do anything. Well, of course you can't.
I hate you right now.
You hate me.
Tearing out my soul.
Oh no, you just make sure you get first pick on the next batch if you think you hate me now.
Oh my God. I think I just woke up my mom. Yes, I did.
Well, sorry, Mom. I'm still talking about enema, so there you go. You're safe.
Well, she's got headphones.
I'm on a headphone, so she can't hear you guys.
Ooh,
but she can still
hear the board. So that means he's coming. I'm excited. And, oh, definitely. You know, I haven't, I am so not with it today. It's crazy. I feel bad. I'm like so scatterbrained. You know, it might actually be my new normal.
I know, you were supposed to give us a picture of your, that latex.
Well, I got distracted by your beautiful words. You're like, you have to pay attention. I'm like, okay, I can do that. I have, because I love spooky season, I have a semi-naughty spooky pic that is all about beginning of spooky season, and I was looking for it on my phone, and I can't find it. So I will be digging through the annals of today's Facebook montage because I was bored out of my wits and couldn't catch my breath this afternoon. So I scroll through Facebook, which I never have done so much in my life.
Well, we're expecting it now. So,
well, it's on my page, so it'll be here in a second because I had to. Oh, this is not my page. Well, it is my page, but it's not the right page. All right, but Deb, you are on the board, and I will give you my full attention as you read so that you don't think I'm, like, looking at all kinds of weird crap. So let me not look at all kinds
of
crap
right now. So I'll
think
you're paying attention. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, my keyboard is really loud, so if I'm clickety-clacketing, you'll know. But
okay. All right, well, this is called, If You Notice the Light, You Ain't Doing It Right. Here we go. Out the cottage window frames, tangerine sun falls through the moon. Cicadas chirp and the crickets clicking as the songbirds croon. Black licorice tint stains twilight, lake water mirrors night's view. Showing the glow from the sky glittering with a starlight hue. We walk a path to the doorway, hands threaded at fingertips. Fireflies flick, amber sparklers tickling eyes as my pulse flips. Heartbeat hammers and thumps climbing the stairs to go inside. Mint beeswax surfs on the air, tongues meet, tango and slide. Arousal spice fills the house. Firm fingers and bodies collide. My turntable spinning records. The beats vibrate the speakers. From the southern rock singers crooning as the outside world blurs. A carafe of red wine sits in ice. An appetizer tray set, but clothes are peeled like onions dropping layers on the carpet. Now skin on flesh stimulation ignites magnetism and flames. As the animal heat fuels the fire that rages as arousal inflames. Bumping, two pump hard, grinding as breaths pant and bobbing. Thrusting, pounding with the motion, stimulation, throbbing. From palms and teeth and mouth and nails, we lick, nick, and nibble, suck and bite. Then two pretzel bodies collapse, and naked origami drives the scene tonight. In the sunshine and the shadows, the neon moonbeams, or firelight by candlelight, and in the darkness with dawn's rise. And then again at night. And Paul.
Yes.
You see, I kind of like that, you know, in the sun, in the sunshine and the shadows and the candles and the big fires and any light or no light, any time is good. I love that. And you always set a scene so well. And I'm kind of excited with Arousal Spice Fills the House, Firm Fingers and Bodies Collide. See, that's kind of like an underlying, like, secondary theme for the evening, you know? Because, you know, it's nature's aphrodisiac, you know, the way it does what it does. You know, bodies are made to, you know, have that end result of things. And so I love that it made its way here. It made its way into mine. It made its way into skies just inadvertently, like this little organic, just lusty bit of deliciousness. And so that's awesome. So I was all thrilled with that because I'm just like, oh, look. And because, you know, I am just that girl. But I love this. I love how you set a mood. You always, you're a really great storyteller. You always take us to a place and you fill it with all the things. You fill us with the sights and the sounds and the smells and the colors, all of it. And here is this evening and this is how it's going to work. And then it begins. And we walk the path. You know, you're holding hands, but they're not just holding hands. They are threaded at the tips, and the fireflies, and, you know, your pulse flicks. And I kind of love how it builds up to the thrusting and the bumping and the skin-on-flesh stimulation. That I love that, because it's very descriptive, and it's different than just skin on skin, because that can be anything benign as you want, but when you make it flesh, it's so much more visceral. And then when that flesh is stimulated, it's like oh yes it is, thank you very much. And so I absolutely love that, how you carry us through the whole entire thing, with the licking and the nipping and the nibbling and the sucking and the biting, because that's the whole evening right there. It's fabulous. So I really kind of love the way you carry us through. And Sky, what are your thoughts on this wonderful tale? You're welcome.
Oh, holy hell, because I have a headset on.
Sorry, Miss Mama.
I may have to go soon because I really did wake her up. This is quite brilliant. I can't repeat all my favorite lines, but you know, I hate black licorice, but you make it sound like,
I
you know,
do too.
You're like, you're taking away certain foods because you're bringing all the gross stuff. You're starting to actually make stuff I like sound good in this whole piece. Kind of shortened a little
content
here,
yeah.
But, you know, yeah, and content with it. I mean, I love that you used it. I it's something I normally wouldn't love, but you quite put it together so beautifully. I really love how in the beginning, it's so soft, you know. There's the chirping and the crickets and the songbirds, and you bring us into this beautiful setting and the glittering and the starlight too. I really love that. And then of course the trickling in the eyes and my pulse flips. And there's a thing with that quickening heartbeat, that quickening of breath that people have to surrender to. So I love that you bring that, the heart channeling, because there's one thing that you just, your body can't lie. You can lie to yourself and to the mind, or you can convince your heart of a million things, but your body, it's very hard to make your body lie, and it just reacts. So I love how you bring that in there. And then you got like real kind of crazy at the end, which is what I loved, because it was like kind of built into it. And when you started in at the end of the piece, I was like, wait a minute, what? I was so sunk into the story that I wasn't quite expecting to kind of like just have that cliff drop, and it was really nice. It was really well put together. Very enjoyable.
Thank you so much, guys.
And I found a picture about how excited I am about spooky season.
So it's up there if y'all want to see it, because that's me.
I need to find out where I am now.
It took me forever to find it, and it's such a stupid little thing. It's all right. Again, me. But I am loving.
A real picture?
No. Of course it's not a real picture.
He's excited. Somebody you don't want to turn on. How about that?
But that's just, it just cracked me up because, you know, of all the spooky season things, you don't expect that kind of excitement. But it just cracked me up, so I had to put it on there.
Make that your profile picture.
Yeah. That's funny. I just might. But I think I would be too disturbed to put like a real like shirtless, like sweaterless Freddy up there. You know, that wouldn't work for me. I don't need that to haunt me in my you know, nightmares, so to speak. Or I get that this is Mike Myers, but I'm just saying, just in case you thought I was confused.
Oh my goodness! So a potency. I thought you were forcing a 6-hour makeup. There were 6 hours of makeup, and you did all the refills.
That's like me. Like that's like an actual picture of me looking like an old lady with all the 7 layers of latex. That is not getting posted for public consumption. I do not do that. I posted my face on here once because somebody wanted to see my curls. I think it was Lady A. We were talking about curly hair. Ooh, all right. So here it is. You have 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, off. Yeah. And I counted it down to get that off of there. And because, you know, I tend to not post myself in places. There's not even, my face isn't even on my Facebook, which is funny because it's called Facebook. But nope, not my face. Well, sorry. Not that there's anything particularly wrong with my face. It's just, you know, I'm just not that girl.
All right. Well, I delivered, and I sent you the old lady me and the man me and then a regular me. So that you can, you know. The old lady.
Look at you. That's awesome. And
that's
from the building?
That's me when I'm 90. Yeah.
I have to, I look just like my mom. I'll send you that later. Remind me after the show. But I am so excited, so excited, so excited, so excited. And the other night on your guys' show is the first time that I realized I sound like me. Like I sound almost back to normal, and I was like, woohoo, look, I have a voice, and I was so excited, because, you know, I listened to a little bit of that first show that I did, at like, that first week out of the hospital. I don't know what I was thinking, I was crazy, and I'm all like, okay, this is me, COVID, next week, and it was horrible, that was so funny, oh my goodness. I had a lot of fun on that show, though. I really, really did. I always love doing these shows. It's a fabulous little release to talk about all kinds of things, and find all these little things that we have in common, and I get a lot of joy out of that. Like I like youthful exuberance, we'll call it, because you know I get giddy. I do. Now, Raconteur, you gave me a piece. It does not have a SoundCloud, but he's here with us, so it can be read, right? I think that's the way that goes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Sky, you think that you can handle Raconteur?
I can't read anything that's naughty right now.
Oh, your mom. All right, that's what you mean. They're being all clever and whatnot. You know,
well,
I need to hire this guy to do some home repairs.
There's no lick, nip, and nibble in mine, but Deb's
Ted's was actually pretty fantastic when it got to that point, I thought. So.
Oh, did I not ask for a comment from you? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I tend to hide in the corner and let it go most of the time, but you know, that wouldn't be fair to Deb. That wouldn't
Please.
Be fair to Deb. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. You know, you've got a way like Pretty Bird mentioned of telling a story that's enthralling, and this was no exception. You know, and when you got to the end, and what was the other line? The origami pretzels. I think you had them separate, but in my mind, I kind of stole the both words. they meld well together. So you know, it's a beautiful thought, the twisting and everything, and it applies itself very well to the subject matter. So you know, I really appreciated that part of it. You know, I could only imagine, you know, going out and to someone's house for dinner and you know, things heating up like that. It's lovely the way that you tell a story, like I said. It was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And now there's a stud muffin in his poem. So if you would do the honors, Miss Deb.
I can do that. I am on my way to it. There it is, right under that blade. Okay, and this is called Sunlight Sonata by Raconteur. And here we go. Sweltering heat working in the yard, tool belt around my waist, shirt sticking tight to my chest as sweat dripped from my every pore. She watched him from the window. He moved with a cat-like grace, manhandling tools and lumber, shaping the material to his will. Every bead of sweat that dripped from his brow brought the project closer to completion. Like a magnet, she was drawn to the steel-banded sinews of its powerful frame, hastily grabbing a tray of which sat an ice-cold pitcher covered in sweat filled with iced tea. She had every intention of quenching his desire, but before she got to him with the tray, she tripped, spilling everything and twisting her ankle on top of everything. He rushed over to help, swooping up a napkin and a few pieces of ice and pressed them to her injured leg, alleviating the pain in her muscle, but not the ache in her heart. Their eyes locked, and the attraction immediately took over, drawing their bodies together by their lips. And the kiss managed to be hotter than the weather. Amen. I mean, and home.
And that's how I catch a man. Because, you know, I have no grace whatsoever. And I'm okay with that. But I kind of love this. And this always cracks me up because I am so that girl. If I can twist it, break it, almost fall on somebody, knock something over, that's me. That is absolutely me. And you know, does the room stop and stare? Yes, for none of the good reasons that the room might stop and stare. But you know, you get used to it after a lifetime. It's fine. But this part, where is it? Manhandling tools and lumber, shaping the materials to his will, every bead of sweat. Brought the project closer to completion. I never wanted to be a piece of wood so bad in my life. And on the flip side of that, I can just see that other wood being handled. And I'm just like, I need to bring that lemonade right now, too. And then, you know, I would fall to my death because that is me. I once broke my foot on a literal 12-inch little median of grass. One step, boom, broke my foot. No joke. That is who I am. And I love this. I love how you can almost smell the man sweat, not B.O. to be clear, the scent of manliness as he's working in the sun with those ridiculous muscles and that awesome tool belt. And sitting there, you know, doing his thing and slowly, deliberately, and I can just see her biting her lip, waiting for the slightest break to come and quench that thirst and everything else he might desire, and then no. And but then yes. So I kind of like that she gets the guys again anyway, you know, which is nice. But Miss Deborah Lee, you read it. What are your thoughts?
Well, one thing, it was fun to read for him from like the other perspective, but I have to say I could imagine that after the little lie, after the little trip, after the little medical attention that was given with the ice cubes, I wouldn't have been surprised if over the next several days there were suddenly these clumsy-ass desperate housewives all over the neighborhood that were coming over and tripping near a sidewalk just so that he can come put some ice on his boo-boos. So I thought this was a clever poem, and I was honored to read for you, Rack and Tour.
Thank you, Deb.
You know, I think that it's that whole let me kiss it to make it better part that is probably more tantalizing than the watching him sweat in the sun. There's something about a strong man, especially being gentle, that is so appealing. It's just not. See, I like Superman, but I love Clark Kent. You know, I am that girl. So there's something about that gentle side. You know, cleaning something up with alcohol and then blowing on it. That little. That can be sexy as all get out, despite the singing. I'm just saying. And Sky, what are your thoughts on this person manhandling his wood?
Well, it's not quite up my alley, but I loved the storytelling. And yes,
you have the muscles. Listening with
Sunil. I don't know. I'm not too much of a muscle gal, but I love the way that you described it. I you know, first of all, Deb, I was already there. It was all a ploy anyway. I was already like, oh, she's got some sneaky moves. So I'm right with you, and I don't think it was. I think it was already the plan. You know, like that damsel in distress, please come help me. So, which was pretty sly and pretty clever. I loved that this was like a story. It really was like a scene, you know, perhaps of a first meeting. And you filled those wells of not only sensuality but also romance, which is a big sachet of both. And I thought you did such a great job. I love the details in it. The sweat on the iced tea glass, and you didn't miss a step in your explaining, and the lines are still short, so it's not in the polls, but it's just like this sweet short story that I, like I said, fills several wells. Really well done.
Thanks.
And Miss Sky, I put your sexy little thing up on the board, and I opened up this poem to see handcuffs and a booty, and I'm just like, oh my Sky, what do we have here? So I am all excited about this very long piece. Well, it's not that long. It's written in little short lines, but okay. And you said you wanted me to read this one. And no worries. Just to let people that might be listening now or in the future know, we do not read other people's sexy things. You have to call in, and then, you know, the rules change a little bit because you're here, and if you can't read it yourself, well, we're not going to let it go to waste. So this is, I love when you make me beg. Love it already. And here we go. Do you want me to read the date? I'll just read it. 2015. Okay. I'm hot on the surface, straining to weep like a candle of wax burning as you lick with tricks, turning up the heat. A sensation symphony that makes me beg, but you won't give in. I can tell by that mischievous, beautiful grin. You love a good game of cat and mouse. gag in mouth, wrists clasped behind near hips, palms settled on naked flesh, now pink with the firm grip of leather crop and tender sips. You drink my sweat like a sweet wine, each bead a co-evolutionary cry. I got you.
That's enough. Convulsionary.
No, well, that says co-evolutionary.
I know. It's autocorrect.
Oh.
I'll fix it.
All right. So I read it right and read it wrong. It's fine. Here we go. Each beat a convolutionary cry. You love to make me wait to tease the hungers I want to sate. Soft whispered craving that low in the curve of neck, the lilts of your lips and warmth of your breath like a second skin. Your body's vibrational hymns cover me completely. Oh, how you love when I beg, and I love when you make me. When I'm lost to that steady ground, when you bring me back down, let my body sink into you, a glimmer of dew on every surface of light, taking pleasure in those subtle nibbles and bites. And though I'm now untied, we're tethered like gossamer threads entwined in those symphonies of sensation, those cat and mouse equations that always add up, because it's true. You love when I beg, and I love when you make me. Gathered by the strips of wick straining to weep, now left to cinder as we coil and sleep, dressed in nothing but those warm embers that fold in sheets. End poem. And holy hell, woman.
I read that way better than I do. Thank you, because you nailed that way better than I do. I
Hell yeah. This is a fabulous spoken word piece, like fabulous. Like, it's got this flow, this kind of jazzy, sexy rhythm of almost not quite peekaboo, but kind of in the shadows and but not like, you know, you want to be good, but I know you like it, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It
We're
is
lucky.
Awesome. This was awesome. I love that, you know, where is it that it repeats and I can't think of the words and I'm looking and I'm seeing every other delicious bit except for what I want to look at. Where is it? Oh, how you love when I beg and I love when you make me. There's something about that reciprocity that is so delicious that I will never understand if everybody isn't drooling a bit and licking their lips and going, okay, because it just, it's completely delectable. It is sexy as hell. It is, you know, well, let's play a little game. And it's got this hint of if we're going, you know, if we're talking handcuffs and begging, that whole little sly, and I love when you make me, you know, kind of alludes to the fact that it's always the one bound that's in control, because they say when to stop and when to go, you know, otherwise, you know, everybody else is, you know, not conducting the orchestra, regardless of what it seems like. And I love how that's in there. I love how this whole thing is a little bit of cat and mouse. It's like, all right, go ahead. You, I know you like it, but, it kind of works for me too. I love that little bit of playfulness. I love that it is all steamy and hot. I love that even though you're untied, you're still tethered. That's probably my favorite part because, you know, that connection is all there and you're all up in it. And whew, there is just, you know, it's the hot as Hades. So, rock and roll. So,
thank you for that, and thank you for reading. It was a brilliant read.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have to make
you
record that
pleasure.
For me, because you did it way better than I do.
Well, I appreciate that you think so, but absolutely my pleasure. This was just I'm just going to save everything. It's fine, and so Rack and Tour. So do you like to be made to beg, or are you the beggy?
Sky and Deb got this thing going about getting mad at each other for stealing lines. So you got down to the bottom part with the gossamer thread. That was my favorite portion of this amazing piece. When it comes to the whole begging thing, the interplay between the two people, again, like you said, and I always giggle when the way you go, oh, you know, that's just so appropriate, because you know it fits the thought, you know, when you're kind of in that position and you can't help yourself. It's just like you're just struck dumb. There's no other answer. It's autonomic, it's perfect. The other idea that you solidify, because not everyone understands the interplay between, you know, the when someone's in charge, it's really the person that's being submissive is the one that's in charge, because you know, they set the guidelines and the rules and the directions. So the other person has to conform to that, otherwise, you know, it doesn't work. So that's another thing that's really hard to bring out in something like this. It's a subtle thing, and a lot of people tend to get it wrong. I think this is beautiful. I mean, bravo.
Thank you. And thank you for the show, for making me drag it out of the attic.
You are very welcome, and I don't feel bad about it. Love you. And Miss Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts on this little nugget of juiciness?
Yeah, I don't feel bad that she made you drag it out either. Just saying. But like in this particular case, I noticed that Rack had mentioned about us stealing the lines. Well, at least she can't steal any because she wrote them all. But no, I don't really need to quote lines on this one, because there was something about this one that was this amazing combination of sexiness and sassiness, of tenderness, and then naughtiness. Of incredible images that set the tone and the mood and heat up the room just a little bit, and the sexy wording. I do have to say I'm jealous of your body's vibrational hymns, not hums, hymns. Oh, perfect jealous line. Wish I wrote it. Taking pleasure in those subtle nibbles and bites. It's been a night for those nibbles and bites, so I'm liking the theme there, but this is an extremely sexy, sensual piece, and very impressive, and I too thought you did a hell of a job reading it. Pretty good. Just saying.
Well, thank you. You know, this piece, I was trying to put my finger on what exactly it is that touches me so viscerally, and I don't know that it's the actual begging, even though that's delicious, and I don't know if it's the eloquent way you played the in between with those little hints, like you go see a little twinkle in the eye. I think it's that for me. This is what trust looks like. This is what a loving relationship looks like that has a very never been broken kind of trust. Not a new tentative trust, not a whatever. It's just the truth of what a moment is. And I find that so beautiful that it kind of just feeds the rest of the sexiness. And maybe because in real life that's what it happens to me too. If there is that kind of trust where, you know, in these
intimate moments of whatever the intimacy looks like, doesn't matter, where you can just be free and fully in afternoon, daylight, sun, and give no craps, there's a lot of trust when you can have these little playful moments of this and that and go back and forth in that and then be untethered and be almost even more into each other than when the games were going on. That's just beautiful, and I love that. So it's not just the games, it's everything. And so you kind of weave that in the subtlest of ways that you almost can't place it, you know. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, beautiful. I might have to end up with a sensual section too to stick these things, because my this is just lovely. You are welcome. I love Sundays. I do. And I keep on looking at the studio, hoping that I didn't miss Silk, because he said he was going to come, and it's like 20 minutes late. But before we go on, any shows coming up, Deb? We did my show on Tuesday and Sky's show on Saturday. So fill us in for the upcoming Team of Voices stuff of the week.
I sure will. Monday at 10, tomorrow, is my show on the color red. Got some amazing photos. And one of the last crayon color word banks. We are advancing towards textures in the next several in the next set of poems that have stuff for you to choose. So if you go pick your number and write it on the line and take your crayons, you'll be all set for tomorrow. And I think you said you did yours for Tuesday. At Wednesday is Lady A's show, and her topic is rejection. She has 10 or so quotes in reference to rejection to choose from to help inspire you. And I do not know yet what our beautiful suite will be doing. So we will stay tuned for that and leave it there for the moment. But I do have to go. I'm sorry. Love and respect to you all. Fun topic. And
Dad, you're killing me.
I know. I'm sorry. I knew it was going to be tough. But you love me anyway. But I got to go. Love
Thank
and respect
you.
To you all.
Oh, thanks for bringing your juicy nugget. And I will see you on the next show.
Cool. Night.
Good night.
Preacher, you're the host. I need you to pick a number, 5, 12, or 45.
45.
Ah, yes. Thanks. I'm a really indecisive person. Thank you.
Well, when you put it that way, it has to be 45.
If it sounds
it
like rain.
It would have been funnier if it was 42. Come on, nerds.
I love The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Did not go over my head.
I'm typing. I gotta pick these. Deb is putting up all these prompts and making me rip my heart out trying to pick a picture.
Okay, I am going to dip into my NYX files because I like those more than all of my others, believe it or not. Did you ever read, Miss Sky, did you ever read Rules of Engagement?
I haven't commented on it. I probably didn't read it because I always try to comment.
It is not a Sunday night read. It is a special Friday night read. So remind me and I'll pull that one out. Let's see. Oh, Shadows. I have one called The Umbra of My Pen. I haven't read that one in a while. Don't know what it is. So you'll be as surprised as I am. Doesn't sound sexy, but who the heck knows? It's in my NYX file, so there should be some kind of hunger in it.
I think I remember that one.
And it goes like this. If this is In the Umbra of My Pen.
I set you free in the cover of night, bare to me alone. I beat down your burdens to let you rest. Oh, this is not sexy. To let you rest. You carried me out of anguished desolation on eyes that see a better me than I believed existed. In your uneasy truth resides the comfort of my heart. I will begrudge you nothing, for there is beauty in every blackened corner. Hide nothing and fear not. My love treasures the cracked surface that keeps us both safe. As you are, bear to me alone. You are safe in eager desire, in a love that is not blinded by misconceptions. Romance bleeds in shadows, coloring roses and hues of a beating heart. You rest your shadows as I beat down the burdens you bear to me alone. And while that deserves to be in my next file, that is not sexy, but there's that.
No, can I say may I?
Yes, you may. I was just going to say, you know, let's say hi to Silk. Hi, Silk.
Hey, everybody. I meant to call in a little bit sooner, but I hung up a little.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. You're fine. Plenty of time. You're good. So, go ahead.
Hello, Silk. I sent you that information about the D&D. But I thought this was, I think it is beautiful, and I think it plays off of the same thing that my first write that I brought played off of it, that being able to bear your soul to somebody and having that insecurity. So I think it does play on the theme, too. It's perfectly light or dark, you know, because I think it's hard for people to stand out and show themselves. Because, you know, there is that fear of rejection, that fear of, what's the word I'm looking for, judgment. And this here is saying there are no judgments. So whether it's in the dark or whether it's in the light, you know, there's this place is safe. So I think that there is a beauty and a sensuality in that, and I think that you hit it on all levels while capturing that emotional that we also all have. So,
well, aren't you lovely? Thank you.
It's kind of hard to argue with it because, you know, when you talk about people and having triggers, it's just something that, you know, some people aren't familiar with, and that's kind of what you're touching on is, you know, he enjoys the darkness and this is what he's getting into and this is what you're offering. So, you know, that level, that communication between the two people speaks to that for me.
I'm going to give you a little nugget as to what prompted that write. I was talking to somebody and I was all pissed off because I tend to have, you know, I'm a bit attitude-y. And again, I am okay with that. I accept all the unfortunate parts of myself. And I was like, well, I have bigger balls than they do because I'm not crass. It's fine. And I got this question. Do you actually have balls? And I was like, do I look like a guy to you? And I'm like, what the shit? But
yes, I do. They're connected by a string and they go up your hoo.
Well, you know, there's something. And I still haven't deleted that from the last thing. Oh, my goodness. And so that prompted a whole new discussion of possibilities and whatever that we won't go into detail on this particular show. But because he asked that question, I was just, you know, it got me after I was like, do I look like a guy? Because, you know, I've got big giant boobs and I'm very much a woman, just to be clear.
I thought I was the blind guy.
I was, you know, I was very much, well, you know, I tend to be very accepting of everything, of the possibilities, of questions, of everything, because who am I? I got my own quirks. We're good. And there was this vulnerability and almost this relief that I was just like, yeah, well, what about this? And what about that? And have you considered this? And you know how I get to talking about things? And you could almost see that he's bracing himself for having asked the question, afraid of what I was going to answer. It's just like, oh, well, you know? And so there was all that. So that prompted that. That was a very, very vulnerable moment for that person. And I was just like, you're good. It's not going to change anything about anything. And it wasn't even anything big. It was just, you know, questions. And I was just like, all right, well, whatever. And, but apparently, and they never brought it up to anybody. And, Mr. Silk, this Michael Myers meme cracked me up because I looked for it for like an hour because I saw it earlier today and I thought it was on my phone because I was like, this is how excited I am about spooky season because I have a thing for spooky season. I do. And so, you know, shwing. And there is that because it's the Naughty Room and this is a rated R show. And even though it's a cartoon and not an actual Winky, it's still freaking funny. So there's that. And,
oh, yeah,
Claire. Oh, Deb's on the board. She's saying, I forgot to mention Halloween's on a naughty night. I know. And for Halloween, and I'm just going to put this out there as a tease, the theme is a cauldron of sin and wicked things. And so I am excited. You have no idea. I was doing a jig. I'm like, I was like on the phone with Sweet. I was like, do we get Halloween? Are we going to get Halloween? And she's like, are you okay? I said, no. And so I'm all excited. And and so it's like, I want to name it this. She's like, because you're awesome. So I have that in the wings. I am working on images. I am working on trying to rein in my naughty nature because, you know, Wicked Things brings me back to a little mentioned grid of stuff from before. Anyway, I am so excited about Halloween. It's going to be fabulous. So that is coming up in a few weeks. And, you know, just a little tease of the culmination of, or the climax, so to speak, of spooky season. You know, before we get into all the thankful stuff and lattes and whatnot, this doesn't have the same flair. So, Silk, I am so excited you made it. I cannot even tell you. It has been a minute. And so I am thrilled. And you are on the board. Are you ready to dazzle us with that voice?
Sure, I'll do my best. And I've been trying to get back into the swing of everything after
and
a
I
bit of a break, but here we go.
That you might be able to visit us for Halloween. It's from 10 to 12. Just give us
I'm
half
gonna
an hour.
Try. I'm
going to
be off the road, but I'm also going to be at my niece and nephew's. It depends on what we're doing there. I plan on getting dressed up like a zombie or something and trying to scare
them,
so we'll see.
But they're little, so, you know, hit us up after 11.
Oh, yeah. My niece loves scary stuff, though. My nephew, not so much. But
aw, but that's so cute.
Yeah. But here we go. Yeah, this one I just wrote for I wrote for a prompt. It was the prompt was actually a kind of like a worship sensuality kind of kink thing, but here we go. It's called Flames of Nibelheim. Does my calligraphy sprawl across your skin in flaming sigils of dire passion, black goddess of my twisted fantasies? Your sweet torment ignites me, swelling within my breast till my ego drips with the sounds of your pleasure. My how, thy beauty is that of the dark, of silver moonbeams striking the surface of hemlock-edged waters, shattering into myriad iridescent jewels. Like shrapnel lodged in my chest, my heartbeat swallowed in the greed of your breath. Where I fall lost, hopeless, gazing upon the curves of thy demise, crawling your legs to lap sweet liquor, my tongue painting murals across the canvas of your thighs. I will worship you within the wailing agony of your sweltering howl, until my lips lead to a kiss ringing my death knell, and I profane your name with blasphemous breath. Goddess, devil, lady, lay upon my crimson altar, accept the sigils of my dire intent, piercing the flames of your libido, like a heathen smoldering within your temple, tapestries ablaze where all the divinity groans for the clash of final cataclysm. And you demand the thrust of my heresy, to corrupt the flesh of your fantasy,
breaking the chains of our perdition as we die like phoenixes and blaze like suns in the throne room of Nibelheim. Simpom.
There is something about the goddess of death that can be so alluring.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, when you're talking shadows, and if we all go back to La Petite Mort, the little death, the the aftermath of the alter, you know, you know, the
yep.
Anyway, the aftermath, you know, the little death. Yeah, there is life, and then there's the after, and so this just kind of oozes shadows and sex. It is all, first of all, I love, does my calligraphy sprawl across your skin in flaming sigils of dire passion? Yes, yes, it does. And it's almost like you can see your finger tracing runes and just having them turn to permanent bloodstained ink. You know, it's just that to me. But, you know, I tend to go there. Black goddess of my twisted fantasies. And yes, 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 yes. And Sweet's going to be all upset when I tell her that she missed a poem just for her. With your sweet comments, ignites me. I love that on so many levels. So many levels. This is very much visceral, very much in that moment, very much come to me and let me gut you with all that I am, whether it's viscerally, whether it's emotionally, whether it's sexually, it's kind of all three. Just because it has to be done, because there's a pull there. There is a binding yearning there that it's going to happen. It needs to happen. And every moment it doesn't happen is painful, you know? And I love that, you know, striking the surface of hemlock-edged waters, shattering into myriad iridescent jewels. How beautiful are these from the moonbeams? It's just really, really visceral and really just, visual, and it's kind of amazing, you know, where I fall lost, hopeless, gazing upon the curves of my demise, crawling up your legs to lap sweet liquor. Well, you know what? If ever murals were to be painted, that would be how you get that done. I'm just saying. Wouldn't you say,
Sky? An artist needs to think.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes, you
will have to excuse my brevity soak. This is going to be a bit of a brevity comment, and I apologize at time. But the fifth and the last stanza ends a little bit of multi calligraphy that and so many other lines that Pretty Bird has pointed out. This is so brilliantly done. I know you're really into RPG, and I just would love, I would love, love to see you in game setting, because, I mean, you could just tell the darkness, the beauty of it, the way that you write. I could imagine it brilliant in scene setting, and role playing and things like that in game. I can just that you're quite brilliant at it, because you could see it through your poetry, the way that you speak and the way that you delve into the character narrative, in such a brilliant, brilliant way. I really enjoyed this one.
Well, thank you, Sky. And yeah, I like to do be detailed when I do role play too.
Oh, I hear tell that is your forte. And I'm just saying, I know nothing. And Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked the cohesiveness of this. The story almost to me, dictates a lot of the words that you chose. If they were missing, it would seem, I don't want to say lighter, but, you know, just lacking, I guess. You want you talk about goddess, and then you throw in blasphemy, heresy, even hemlock. I'd include that in the list of things that kind of just, you know, if you were building a word bank based on a theme, you've got all the lovely triggers in here that make this even more gorgeous. It's like the shading on a painting, you know. It's not just a flat picture. You've got all the little colors and details and innuendo in the words that you picked that really make the whole thing stand out and give it a depth that's like would be totally different if you, you know, took out some of these words and the way that you put them together. But the story itself and the darkness in it, you know, how can you're talking about, you know, death, and how can you not have that? You know, it flowed wonderfully. It felt right. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, I would call it tight. You know, it's like you don't need to change anything. It's not missing anything. It feels right. You know, you could probably write a part two even. Really nice. Okay.
The end part of your comment kind of sounded like good sex.
Yeah.
So I am just going to say this. We started out with Titus and his morning sunrise, and we ended up with bloody altars of fantasy darkness and, you know, goddess of death sex. And what a wonderful bookend of light and shadows of the exact theme for tonight. I think that's absolutely perfect. So I know you wanted to be here early, and we would have loved to have you here earlier because, you know, the more time, the better. But what a wonderful way to close tonight's theme. It was just perfect on that. And I love how you go all Norse mythology and whatnot, and how if people never considered the possibility of having a blood loss, it's because they have not read your words. I am just saying.
There we go.
So I want to thank all you guys for hanging with me on a pretty sweet tease, and Sweet will be joining us next week. So, you know, she's a little bit more fun than me. I tend to be all like, well, did you know? And she's all like, woohoo! And so it's a good pairing. So I miss her when she's not here because she's all fun, and I'm all like, yes, but did you know? But this was awesome. I think you guys are great, and you guys brought such beautiful and diverse words on all aspects of everything. And I get all giddy about all the little connected things, whether it's the bites and nibbles, whether it's the sensual wafting, whether it is, you know, the begging and the little bits of torment in that, or you know, the beautiful love and the thirsty passion. It's just amazing. I love Sunday nights, and Sunday nights would not be awesome if it was not for all you guys. So thank you. And hopefully I will see you guys next week. 10 o'clock, Silk. Set an alarm, even if it's for 11 o'clock.
Well, he doesn't want to be known for arriving early.
You guys are awesome, and I will see you next time. And Silk, you missed the announcement, so I have a show on the regular Team of Voices site. My Under the Bus show is Tuesday, and it's all ghosts and real-life stories, and anytime you were freaked out or anything creepy. So it's not necessarily wolf-in, but if there's a wolf in the shadows or whatnot, I'm good with that, too, because it's beginning a spooky season.
I probably
have to
go
really
somewhere.
Awesome. So I, you know, I expect to see you there too, because I'm bossy that way. But you guys are awesome. I love you. And I'm going to say good night and have a wonderful, I guess, rest of your day, because now it's after midnight.
Yeah, there we go.
You too. Thank you.
Everyone.
You are welcome. And I'm so glad you made it. Good night, guys.
Me too. Good night, guys.
Thank you for your